This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
When we talk about Agenda 21 and Illuminati, what are we talking about?
Yeah, well, Illuminati is kind of a word that really caught the public imagination. It's when you start researching into it more and more, you realize it's just that even the Illuminati, I mean, it's kind of a, it's just a department. It's just one department of the what I would now call, now that I'm, you know, I keep advancing my knowledge in this stuff, and now that I'm where I'm at now, I would just call it, you know, the bloodline. It's one bloodline. It's a single bloodline that we're talking about here that's ancient, and some think it's not human, including myself, and it's hybrid bloodline. But on the other hand, it, don't get caught up in that. It doesn't really matter. You know, we can disagree on that. You can go somewhere else, find something else if you want. I don't care. It's just one bloodline is the key, and the Illuminati is sort of the, I'd call it like the filth department of the bloodline. So it promotes Hollywood big time. It promotes the cultural decay that you're seeing in the West with all this transgender craziness and telling boys they're girls and mixing up genders, mixing up, more importantly, just mixing up right and wrong. You know, that's what they love to do. They love to tell you wrong is right and right is wrong. And they'll tell you that incessantly if you watch their screens. That's all they do. That's actually all they do. So that's the Illuminati. And they work closely with the Tavistock Institute, which was the institute for, you know, social behavior in the city of London, tied to Chatham House, tied to the, you know, Royal Geographic Society and all the gang, and they're always trying to, the Illuminati's job is to create rot in Western culture, in all culture, really. I mean, because they want to spread this rot to every culture, actually. That's why they push immigration big time, because they're forcing people together to create a monoculture and to take away their individual cultures in the process. So they're destroying that culture in Guatemala just as much as they're destroying American culture when they force these Guatemalan people into America, because the Guatemalans are leaving their Mayan roots or their Mayan home or their Quechual or Quechua or Mam tribal home in Guatemala, as it may be, and they're being forced out of their extended families, and, you know, they're being given cell phones and George Soros charged up debit cards and sent north. And the same can be said of the North Africans who are coming into Europe. And I don't know, I think South Africa, a lot when I was there, they were having a problem with you know, Mozambique, Zimbabweans coming because they could make more money, probably still are, right? So they're forcing this immigration to create this melting pot, but ultimately they want a hive mind, a singularity, you know, and this is a big part of the Agenda 21 part is to sort of make us feel like guilty about the environment and make us feel like there's nothing we can really do. Climate change is an issue they hold up, and this is came out of the Rio summit with Gore and Murray Strong, who is a mining magnate from Canada. And Gore, many people may know, is tied to the Occidental Petroleum Trust. And Armand Hammer is where he got his money and political start, the Gore family in general. And so these are industrialists who are telling us that we're the problem, that we have to choose between paper and plastic, and we're these dirty little humans that are infecting the planet while the elite fly around in their private jets and burn up a bunch of fossil fuel. And it's just hideous and ridiculous beyond imagination that you have these people telling you, lecturing you about, you know, and I'm all for saving the environment, by the way. I mean, I have a master's in environmental studies. So I run circles around these idiots when it comes to debates about the environment or any, you can pick a category and I'll debate you on it, you know, because I studied this stuff and I want to save the environment. What's causing climate change are the climate changers who are building a space fence, for example, around our planet, like Lockheed Martin is doing, or Elon Musk, who's shooting Starlink satellites up into space and warming the atmosphere. You know, and yes, the oil companies still, of course, the Rockefeller, Rothschild oil axis, the plastics, I mean, everything we consume and own, or hold on to in our hands. It's made by oil still, and they've got us on this, yeah, this oil. It's an oil cartel. It's still an oil cartel. They're trying desperately to hang on to this oil petroleum standard that they've created in 73. Paul Volcker with the Sheikh of Kuwait, the Emir, and also with the Nigerian Prime Minister created this this benchmark crude, Bonny Light in Nigeria and Kuwaiti Light. These are the two lightest fuels, best fuels for aircraft fuel that burn the best, you know. And he said, we'll give you a couple bucks premium. You'll make it a benchmark, but you'll tie the dollar to this. You know, you'll have to purchase it in dollars. And that's what's taken over the world. So that's what you have now. It's not a gold standard anymore. It's a petrodollar. And what's happening now is they're trying to, you know, the BRICS is trying to test that. They're trying to buy oil in different commodities now, Chinese, the Indians. I don't know if South Africa is doing that. I hope so. They're trying to break up that petroleum cartel there, you know. But at the same time, so anyway, these industrialists telling us we're the problem, and this is Agenda 21. Agenda 21. You have to remember this is 2025. So I wrote that book in 2018. So it's just passed already. 2021. Oh, it's passed. Well, guess what happened in 2021? Well, COVID. COVID happened in 2021. So that's a pretty good little agenda consolidator, isn't it? So I think we can kind of check that one off and say, yeah, Gen 21 was, you know, that was, they took a run at that. They didn't really, I would say they didn't win, however. I would say that the Canadian truckers and, well, a lot of people, me, you, a lot of people stood up and said, no, we're not doing. The presidents of countries who were assassinated stood up and said this. In Africa, there were many. And a Haitian president, too, was assassinated because he refused to take the vaccinations. And so I don't know. Yeah, now we got Bobby Kennedy in there, and we'll see what happens. And Jay Bhattacharya, you know. And so that's, I don't know. I'm not a supporter of Trump. Oh, I didn't vote for either one of them people. But I kind of supported Kennedy a little bit, except, you know, he's just stupid about Israel. But, I mean, at least, I guess, the health thing, it could get interesting. Because, you know, you got Robert Redfield already coming out pretty much saying this is a Defense Department thing that they took it into China. And now you've got this 500-page congressional study. I think it came out yesterday, literally yesterday. And it says that this is this virus came from a lab. And this is official now, came from a lab. And so Eco Health Alliance in Wuhan, and I know we're going way off the reservation here, but that's just what I do. You just got to get used to it. It's a stream of consciousness. But anyway, we targeted China with that virus in 2021, and that was a big part of Agenda 21. Try to basically, you know, with Trump's tariffs already in place, I think it was a targeted deal. And that's what the Chinese think, too, because the one interview I heard right after with the military spokesman for the Chinese Defense Department was that he said the United States brought the virus to their country and released it. In other words, targeted him. And I think they did it through the World Military Games, which happened in October of 2019. And, you know, that was this thing where 5G was rolled out in Wuhan for the first time ever. So there's some interaction with the 5G, which what they were trying to do for Agenda 21 to get us off the oil and on the waves, you know, like they're any better, because they're not, because they're killing the birds and the bees and us more than oil, probably. These electromagnetic frequencies, especially the 5G and all this stuff. It's a weapon system, okay? So, but it really didn't pan out, because along with the fact that the truckers and us and said, no, we're not going to take your stupid vaccine, we also said we're not going to, you know, become antennas, you know, because that's what part of the vaccination is. You become an antenna in the 5G grid system that transmits signals. And by the way, you also transmit a signal. In other words, they're reading your mind and they're planting thoughts in your mind. It's very possible it's happening. So just accept it. And then you can defend against it. If you're just a stupid idiot and you think it's not possible because you live in La La Land and kindergarten or something, then I don't know, you're in trouble. But if you know it's coming at you, you can defend yourself. So just do that. And you can literally maybe look at one of those towers and just like burn a hole in it. Okay, if you really know that. But you better know that. Anyway, that's a whole other subject, but yeah, so the Illuminati, anyway, is a department of the bloodline, and it's a smut department, and it promotes these, like, these fake narratives like climate change, which, of course, you know, climate's always changing, and I do, again, I think climate is being changed by the changers, because they're the ones that clear-cut the forest. Or you go to the west coast of the United States, Washington, Oregon, California, the clear cuts on the coast are just, there's no trees. So gee whiz, why do you think it gets getting to be 110 degrees in the summer there and stuff like that? I mean, it's just not rocket science, people. We fucked up the planet and we need to accept it. And I'm so tired of hearing, you know, that, oh, the climate's always changed. It's not us. Yeah. Yeah, it's not us. You're right about it's not us, but it is them, and it's the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the bankers, and they've trashed this planet, and they're continuing to trash this planet. So that's true. And you know, the way they try to spin it, though, is that, oh, it's this climate change, it's this nebulous thing you can't really fix, right? So, you know, it sets these, instead of these kids going to protest, maybe a clear cut, or maybe an oil refinery that's polluting their city, and shutting it down like we used to do all the time in the old days. I can't tell you how many, you know, things I shut down. I mean, a few anyway, not a, you know, a handful. Handful of things got shut down, okay? And that's, we're like, cool. And nobody does that anymore. Why? Because they're all, their heads are in climate change, or their heads are in like the hive, you know, Trump versus Harris. And yeah, I don't know, it's just stupid stuff. It's like social media, yeah, has captured people and taken them off the streets, and they think they have a community and they think they have activism, but it's just this fake stuff, like everything on Facebook, like your friends you thought you had on Facebook or Instagram or whatever kind of CIA. You can pick your CIA program, you know, pick your program. Seriously, why do you think they call them programs? Why do you think they call TV programs? The programs are programming you, man. And the real world is being sacrificed and thrown under the bus. And this is what the Illuminati loves, okay? I mean, they're the ones that's their thing. Like, let's take them into La La Land and bread and circuses and take away their morality and, make them want to be machines and make them want to be aliens like us. And, you know, they really are always trying to initiate us into their cult, into their satanic. It is a satanic cult. But see, to me, Satan, satanic, excuse me, you know, Lucifer, you know, Nephilim, Anunnaki, artificial intelligence, alien, internet, computer technology, these are synonymous. These are all the same thing. These are all the same thing. Like, when we get sucked into the machine, we're literally becoming Satanists. We're literally satanic. We're literally, you know, we're giving up on human beings. We're giving up on humanity. That's what Jesus represented, was the best of humanity, right? Like, the truth, the way, the light. Like, this is how we are. This is the way we are. We're humans. This is how we behave. Look at the Israelis. They've trashed every modicum of human behavior, decent human behavior ever imagined in this, what, 1 year of just pummeling the Palestinians, and while the United States and Europe backs it. I mean, this is the kind of moral decay that you get when you target the people, and then this is the government we get. We get a government like this. We get to choose between Trump and Harris, or Trump and Biden, or Trump and Clinton, or Clinton and Bush, or, you know, I mean, that's because the people have lost their way, you know, in America. Let's be clear. And so that's on the people. And in the end, that's on the people. Because, they're mind controlling you. Yeah, they're setting this 10,000-year-old agenda, this bloodline, this one single bloodline that consists of the crowns of Europe and any crown, any titled individual that is a minion for them. Any sir, duke, lord, these are all part of the problem. These titles, these are the people that feel entitled, that they feel like they are the Sangreal bloodline, you know, that descended from Jesus is their little shtick. But they know the actual story of the bloodline, and it came from the Anunnaki bloodline. It's Sumerian. They landed in Sumeria 8,500 years ago, they did, and they enslaved the Sumerians into agriculture. And King Sargon was the first king that this world has ever known. And King Sargon was Sumerian. And then King Marduk. And then they pushed off into India, into the Indus Valley, and into China. And they started agriculture at the same exact time everywhere, simultaneously. And this is where you get Angkor Wat and Tikal and all these huge things that people wonder about. How did they build these? Why did they build these? And my opinion anyway is that they developed agriculture to serve the priest class, the lazy fucking aliens, let's just call them, the conehead shitheads that have enslaved us and we hate, and put them in agriculture to basically bring stuff to their cities and their little palaces and feed them and, you know, wipe their ass and everything. And And then they would just taught them how to sacrifice, because, like, you know, Indians and Aztecs wouldn't have done that without some outside influence. You know, that's my, because I defend humanity. You know, they defend, like, Thomas Hobbesian, Malthusian, you know, ideas of, oh, you know, humans are brutish and they're just nasty and they're just going to do this to each other. Except for we had, let's see, like 100,000 years of human history before you showed up, you assholes showed up, and we were just fine. And we shared. And we hardly ever went to war, only over territory, and once in a while. And if it was, it was maybe we stole your horse and we thought it was funny, or, you know, gave it back to you 6 months later, but counted a coup on your ass. Stupid fuckers trying to steal our horses. But whatever. It's like, that's the way we dealt with shit, and that's the way we are. And then they're trying to tell you you're something else. And you wear three-piece suits, man, and you're all, like, stuffy, and you all, you know, you fucking, I don't know, you act like this, and you wear these jewels on your head, and it's just like, what the hell are you people? What the hell are you things, I should say? So this is what we're dealing with. This bloodline is what we're dealing with. And the Illuminati, they're the ones that, yeah, essentially try to take people off course, off of the good red road, off of action reaction, off of karma. Like, you know, you do something, you get something happens back, reverberation. You know, it's not about protons and neutrons. It's about electricity. It's about good vibes or bad vibes in this world. That's the nature of the reality you live in, man. So you're either creating the bad vibes, contributing to that, supporting that, and you do that every time you support the system in any way. So you have to try intentionally to bring down the system, okay? That should be your goal. That should, and I know most of your listeners it is. And then you should try to bring up the people and simultaneously love the people, hate the system. You know, because you can't really do one without the other. You know, Jesus loved the people, hated the system, I think. Crazy Horse loved the people, hated the system. I mean, all my heroes, Gandhi, all my heroes loved the people, hated the system. And you have to, because it's so evil and in its present form. But I maintain that this is new, that this is relatively new. This only came to our earth about 8,500 years ago. That's relatively new. Okay, and I maintain it's not human. And I maintain they hijacked they hijacked the religions. They hijack the sciences with their royal societies, which make up bullshit stories about the nature of reality, basically, to suit their purposes, to justify their enslavement of humanity and their trashing of the earth and their theft from tribal people of everything that they own and the land, and they have it all. And the biggest landowner in the world is the British Crown. It's a fact. And these people are, you know, and then the British pay their way, and they live in a castle, and they eat lobster every other night and T-bones the other night. And then who knows what else they do, but it's just, think about that. How anyway, America fought the fuckers and we got free. That's the one good thing about us. And people forget that, and now they're stupid again, and they want to go to war with Russia because they're stupid, or they want to go to war with the Muslims because they're stupid, because they don't have the guts to stand up to the British Crown. Oh, it's terrible. But anyway, I'm gonna.
Dean, you've covered a lot of territory. If you don't mind me just jumping in for a moment, it sounds like you are referring to the black nobility. Is that correct?
Yeah, the black nobility and also present nobility. The black nobility tends to be the ones that don't hold titles anymore. They tend to congregate. Most of them are in Italy because they had this falling out with the Catholic Church, you know, way back in the 13th century, and lost their titles. And then also the Italians have officially, you know, gotten rid of their monarchy, the Savoy family. The Germans officially got rid of their monarchy, right? The French officially got rid of their monarchy. You know, some of them have, some countries have. A lot of them haven't. And that was also, you know, the French Revolution. That's what that was all about too. So as well as the U.S. Revolution. Now, was it hijacked? Yes, because they still control the central banks. And that's the problem. So these revolutions are by no means complete. And yes, America is still a corporation, a crown corporation, and France is still a crown. Every country is a crown corporation. Every state in America is a separate crown entity as well. your birth certificate is traded on the New York Stock Exchange, and you are a crown entity as well, because we are in debt to these this bloodline to the tune of, like, in America, it's $36 trillion. I don't know how much the South African debt is to the bloodline, but it's to the same people. You should know. This money that South Africa owes, just international debt, is to the same exact blood-sucking bloodline that... Because this bloodline is eight families that own 52% of the Fed. That's a fact. That's documented. Okay, eight families. But in the end, those eight families are inbred. You know, so you have the Goldman family, the Sachs family, they inbred. The Kuhn family, the Loeb family, inbred. Rockefellers, Rothschilds, Lazards, Israel, Moses, Saifs. And Oppenheimers have now kind of taken the place of the Lehmans. And there's your Oppenheimers. They're big in South Africa because they own Anglo-American, right, along with the Rothschilds. So they're one of them now, too, because Lehman Brothers kind of went tits up. And the Oppenheimers came in with Barclays and took the carcass of that, because the Oppenheimers also control Barclays with the Rothschilds. So yeah, there's these eight families, and then they're also, like I say, inbred, and these are just, but again, these are just the bankers. You know, these people don't run the world either. They're just the bankers. So how it's set up is, you know, at the very top you have the blood. There you have people that do absolutely nothing, because the way they see it, we have 33 vertebrae in our back, which is true, and the 33rd is the atlas. So the 33rd degree Mason sits on top of the rest of the worker, sort of the workers, right? And sort of runs them. And then on top of that, though, what's there? What's on top of the head? What's on the head? Well, the head is really the Illuminati. You can say, okay, 33rd degree Masons become illuminated, Illuminati. And that's where they say it. And so, but what's on top of the head? Oh, the crown sits on top of the head, right? So the crown does nothing. So the Rothschilds, maybe they punch some numbers, but there's people that do nothing. I mean, the Habsburg family is a good example of people that do nothing, absolutely nothing. And there, if you had to name one family name that you could associate with this bloodline, I would pick the Habsburgs, because I think, you know, they're maybe the most powerful. They're kings and queens in many, many countries still in Eastern, Western, and Central Europe, including Belgium, you know, Hungary. I mean, there's a lot of countries where the Habsburgs are still running the show. So they're very powerful. But yeah, so the crown does nothing. And that's really the way they think about it. And they're entitled, they think, because, yeah, they have this sangreal blood, this royal blood. And it gets down to that. But yeah, I mean, we got to wake up to this. I think people are waking up to this, that this is actually real. And... you know, that's what it is. I mean, again, the biggest problem we have in social change is that people don't understand the evil of the enemy, how evil this enemy is. And it doesn't, like I say, it doesn't matter if you think it's aliens or not. And I go into all that in all my books, a lot of research, and I definitely think they are, because I think they hop from Samaria to become the pharaohs of Egypt, and then to Babylon to become the Babylonians. And that's where the Baccarats came out of. The Rothschilds were the Baccarats, and then they were the Bowers, and then they're the Rothschilds. And they've controlled the western end of the Silk Road trade. The Chinese end was controlled by the Li family. And the Li family is another one of the bloodline families. That's all tied together in one bloodline. There are Asian names as well. I mean, it's not just the Europeans. It's, you know, there's the Khans, there's the Singhs. So if you're a Sikh, the Sikh is not a religion. It's a blood. It means you're like a... you're like a Brahmin or whatever. You're like a bloodline. You're part of the bloodline. So if your last name is Singh, that's the bloodline. And you see that name popping up everywhere now, running things overtly. Khans, K-H-A-N, that's another bloodline that's coming out of the closet, and they're running things now for maybe the Habsburgs or the people that don't want their names in the news. But the Asians are coming out of the closet. The Shah family is coming out of the closet. Sabrina Shah, big Pentagon spokesman for Biden, you know, she was all, whatever, justifying some Ukrainian, yeah. Some more arms to Ukraine on the way out for, you know, Sleepy Joe there, and a good idea, right? So, but you'll see those bloodlines emerging as kind of like lieutenants, and they're really just coming, they used to be, they, so they're actually, increasingly you are seeing that, where the bloodline is, it's its kids or its siblings or its whatever are running things. They're running things more overtly now because we've reached that point in our economy where the billionaire class, I mean, is so powerful. I mean, they run everything. And this concentration of power, where's it going? The bloodline. Who do you think BlackRock is? Who do you think owns Vanguard? Well, which owns BlackRock and which is private, so you can't really find out who owns Vanguard because it's a private corporation. That's who owns it, the bloodline. So they own everything. And if you look at Vanguard and how much it owns of the Fortune 500, it's virtually every single Fortune 500 corporation has Vanguard, BlackRock, State Street, and Fidelity Management Resource, Fidelity Resource Management, FMR, in the top five shareholders. A lot of times Bank of New York Mellon is right there too. That's another one. But this is all, this is how concentrated it is. And then they've got us, I don't know, stupefied. I mean, people right now are talking about in America, like, you know, Kamala Harris is a communist. We have to stop her. I mean, it's just like, I don't know how stupid you could be to think Kamala Harris was a communist. I mean, she works for the man, dude. She works for the big bankers, man. She always has. She's a sellout. Her old man was a slave owner. She's funded anti-communist movements all over the world, I'm sure, or knew about it. I mean, what they're doing in Syria now, they're firing up these rebels again because the Israelis got their butts kicked in Lebanon, even though they're saying it's just the opposite. They got their butts kicked. They had to leave, just like in 2006. And so now they're going to Syria and they're firing up their Takfiri terrorists over there, the Al Nusra Front, which they call something else now, whatever. It's the same thing. It's the CIA and British intelligence. And they're attacking Assad. Why? Because Assad's a socialist. Assad's a real communist. You see, there actually are real communists in the world. And they're actually the good guys. So if you pull your head out of your ass for just like 5 seconds and check that out, that could change your whole fucking world, man. That's where it starts. I mean, people are just, I'm sorry, but people are stupid, man. They're just stupid. This whole thing about we're fighting the communists, like what? We're fighting a bloodline. We're fighting billionaires who don't want to share anything with you, man. They don't even want to give you health care. They don't even want to educate your kids, man, like in the good old days. They don't even want to have, like, you know, public parks. They want to, like, charge you to get into national parks now. Maybe for a library card even. I mean, they don't want anything public. So why, where is this coming from that we're fighting communism? It's just like, see, that's the real, okay, when you get to that level and you understand that, that's the line of the bloodline, that to tell you that over and over. Why? Because the Indians were the only real communists, that's why. Or, you know, yeah, or the Bushmen, you know, or wherever, whatever tribe was living in your area before your ancestors and mine came and, you know, pillaged it, unfortunately. And that has to be acknowledged. You know, hopefully I didn't have anybody too close doing that. I don't know of anyone, but I'll acknowledge that my fucking people did it. And we were given cookies to do it and Homestead Act and, you know, go take the Indians' land and you get all this. But it happened there, it happened here, it happened everywhere. And when are we going to just acknowledge that we were wrong? So that's, and people say that, they're like, well, the Israelis always say that to me. Oh, well, you did the same thing to the Indians. Well, I'm like, yeah, and I fucking admit it too, and I talk about it. And I own up to it, and I say it was wrong. You know, so why don't you just go ahead and say what you're doing to the Palestinians is wrong, and then we can agree on the Indians. Because I'm already there. I'm not a hypocrite, unlike you. I'm not a hypocrite. I know that this is all wrong. And then I know Israel is a colonial settler project, and that's all it is in the end. So it's no different than, yeah, Kit Carson and, you know, whatever, Daniel Boone coming in here. And
where do the Jews fit in?
Well, that's complicated because there's different branches of it. You know, there's Ashkenazi Jews, there's your Sephardic Jews to start with. The people that are interested in the Torah, they're just Jews. There's a lot of people like that. The Orthodox Jews too. I mean, they're kooky looking and everything, but they're pretty okay. But it's really just these Talmudic Jews. These, and I call them fake Jews because they're not even really Jews. They're Satanists, and they're the Ashkenazis, and they're the ones that came from Khazar. You know, Khazaristan, the whole Khazar Empire, right? And that was a bad bunch of people, and that's where they settled after Babylon. So yeah, my thesis on this. Okay, so the Anunnaki inbreds, created these kingdoms, went up, started agriculture, domestication of animals also, by the way, started at the exact same time everywhere. City-states were developed. They ran them. They went to become the pharaohs. They also went to become the Babylonians. The Babylonians then went to Khazar. Khazar become the Khazarian Empire north of there in Georgia, you know. And then the pharaohs hopped across to become the Holy Roman Empire, because Cleopatra had an affair with Julius Caesar and Mark Antony. But Julius Caesar burned down the Alexandria Library, destroy all the evidence of the bloodline and where they came from. And within 9 years of the Egyptian revolution to overthrow the pharaohs, Cleopatra was the last pharaoh, the Holy Roman Empire began within 9 years. Then within, I think it was another 9 years of the Holy Roman Empire folding in 17, whatever that was, is the British Empire started. Pax Britannica started. So this is a seamless transition, man, if you study it. And you look at where these people came from and where they went and how they controlled everything. And yeah, they got behind the Catholic Church. They hijacked that. They wrote the papal bulls. They took it away from Peter, the Council of Nicaea, 225 AD. Made up all these new things like Jesus is a savior, which he's not. You're your own savior, pal. I'm sorry. Or ma'am, because that's just the way God has made it. You know, you will be responsible for your own actions. No one will die for your sins. You will die with your sins, or you will atone for your sins and then die. It's pretty simple. Don't be an idiot. But they made all the, and this was, okay, who was this? This was the Habsburgs, because this was Constantine, the Emperor Constantine, who convened Council of Nicaea. So this way back in 225 AD already is the Habsburg bloodline hijacking the Catholic Church. So yeah, they did that. Then they hijacked the Protestant Church and actually backed them against the Catholics for a time through the reformist movement, you know, this Protestant reform. And that was because Martin Luther and later the evangelicals, who are now kind of the tip of the spear, it's not really the Catholics anymore. They're too socialist. They don't like them anymore. They go to the evangelicals, man. That's their people now. And they go around the world promoting Israel, promoting, you know, get rich, drive a Cadillac. Jesus wants you to live in a big house, you know, and fuck people over and have slaves. Really? So this is where they're at now, and this is who they back, religiously or whatever. And the Anglican Church, of course, in the city of London is their main thing. That's the guy that just got busted for the pedophilia, you know, the Archbishop of Canterbury. That's the Anglican Church. So then they went behind science, too, and they hijacked that, I mean, through the Royal Society. When they basically started this whole scientific monopoly. And no matter what branch of science, it's like they sort of said, we're the self-proclaimed experts in this field, whether it's, you know, physics or whether it's geography or whether it's anthropology or cultural anthropology, archaeology or whatever it is, they're the experts, you know. And they just set it up that way. And this is where they tell us lies about, like, survival of the fittest. Like, you know, look, we were talking about Kruger before we came on air, because I've been there and you live there and you love it and I loved it. And, you know, what I saw in Kruger was, and I wrote about this in one of my books, was what I saw most of all was animals cooperating with each other, you know? And that's what I saw on my farm growing up, where we raised pigs and sheep and cattle and chickens and ducks and geese and everything, and had pets. And this is what I've seen as a hunter and a trapper and a fisherman my whole life, because I've lived in the outdoors my whole life. I've camped the western part of this country a lot. I know the backcountry of Montana better than anybody. And I've pulled my food up in a tree because there's grizzlies in the area and all this stuff. And I've always so I live in nature. I'm not some city person like Thomas Hobbes was, like John Malthus was, like John Locke was, like all these philosophers who tell you, you know, nature's a dark place and it's vicious and it's dog eat dog and it's survival of the fittest. And you know, every one of these people that wrote this bullshit was like a city person. So if you live in the country with the animals and with nature, you'll realize that it's all just peaceful and there is no, this is all a lie. This actually, it's not survival of the fittest. It's survival of the ones that cooperate with one another. And Darwin himself, actually, this was his central thesis of his, this is his central finding, was that for a species to survive, it must cooperate There must be a great deal of cooperation within that species. That's his first thing. And they just threw that out the window and went to this, you know, might is right, might is right. Why? Because it justifies their colonial history. It justifies their theft of resources. It justifies their brutality against Native people. So they have to have these ideologies to cling to justify their very existence. Otherwise, they couldn't live with themselves. And they'd have to own up to the fact that they're killers. They're rapists. They're terrorists. And they have been. And they should change their ways. Not that hard. And they could. But they won't even admit it. And this is what stands in the way, largely, is these scientific lies about the nature of reality. And it just takes, it's always something where it takes the responsibility off of the individual, and it sort of, just like climate change, right? It just like throws it out there, and well, gee, that's just the way it is. That's just the way humans are. They're just vicious. And so if I'm vicious to my neighbor, it's okay. Because man, if I wasn't stealing his bread, the next guy would come along and steal his bread. I mean, do you realize how fucking crazy that sounds to like Indians or anybody else? Like, I don't even, like, where's that? Wow. So that's some sick puppy thinking. And that's the kind of stuff they've done to us. And it just, people have to, I don't know. I'm not sure we're ever going to get where we need to go without, I don't know, some kind of EMP destruction of technology. Because I do feel like technology is taking us away from that more and more, you know, that understanding. And into this kind of pettiness, where we're real reactionary. We're not acting anymore. We're reacting. You know, we're waiting for people to be nice to us instead of just being nice to people. Or, you know, that's not going to cut it, because again, you're not contributing to the good energy. And imagine all that energy being sucked out of the universe, everyone waiting and nobody giving. And that's what it feels like right now. And it feels like we're just going to crash and burn, and it's going to end in World War III, because nobody cares enough to stop it. Doesn't it kind
of? You think
so? I don't know. I mean, so? Kind of, yeah, because I just don't feel like people are, they're giving up their humanity. See, they're giving up, they're becoming machines, they're just sitting there. I mean, when people come into your house and they just like, they don't even pay it, sometimes they don't, people that are good people that you like and their family even, but they'll just still, they're just like, they're lost puppies. They're just, you don't do that, man. You just don't do that. You don't do some of the things that are happening. It's like, it's really crossed the line. Guess what? We're crossing a lot of lines every day too, I feel like, with this technology. And I don't know, it's just bad, because you know, we're becoming less and less connected with nature, and I think we have less and less like faith in a higher power of good, because all we see is this crap. And even the true stuff like we're talking about that has to be talked about, but it's still ugly. And it's like, you don't want to get caught up in that. You don't want to get stuck in that mud. You know, you have to also, again, love the people or love nature. Go outside, look at the trees, look at the animals, talk to them and see how beautiful that is, because that was made by the creator. But if you get that in line and you can, that's what you have to do. I mean, you have to do both. But I'm afraid too many people are just losing hope, you know, and going into the darkness and not really seeing the beauty, you know. And then, of course, there's your other people who are just kind of in la-la land, I don't know, don't care about any of it. So yeah, I do worry, because I feel like the West especially is just kind of, I don't know, it's wavering right now. It's like waffling and wavering. It's like, make it a damn decision. I mean, even Trump, it's like, make a decision about, you know, what you're going to do with Russia, because, you know, we were told you were going to get out of there. And now we got people like Mike Waltz and Sebastian Gorka like poking Putin in the eye all of a sudden, and just, you know, and you got Trump trashing the BRICS nations and threatening them, and that doesn't look like peace. That doesn't look like what we were told. Like, at least you're going to maybe do that, even though you're going to be a typical toady on Israel, you know, for all we can tell. So I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't look good to me. And you can't keep expecting the Russians to show restraint on these things. I mean, we got a U.S. military base 100 miles from the Russian border in Poland now. 100 miles. I mean, can you imagine what the U.S. would do if, like, Russia put a military base 100 miles south of the Mexican border? That's, you know, so we keep provoking them, and I don't know. I know there's a lot of money in it, and I know their 5G, Fourth Industrial Revolution, failed, so they had to kind of go to this war, back to this old war economy. That's part of it, yeah. But it's just this time it's different. It just feels like we've united all our enemies, you know, for the first time ever. Like, you know, we were always at least smart enough to keep the Chinese and the Russians, you know, at each other's throats. And now,
is that, Dean, part of the Luciferian strategy to keep the world submissive by pitting people against one another the whole time?
Absolutely, of course. And they love to do that, and that's what they do with social media, on a more community level or family level even. You know, that's what they're doing with this notion of like a two-party system, like pick a side when in fact they're both the same side. But better yet, if you tell people it's a different side and they fight each other, like you're saying. And it's the same with countries. Yeah, keep them at each other's throats. Well, that's worn off. That's worn off. And so now you have China and Russia and India and South Africa and Brazil and many countries. Really tired of this stuff. Really tired of... I was really proud of your country for bringing that lawsuit against Israel at the ICC, by the way. So, people are sick of it. It's just old. Bretton Woods system is old. And why, you know, it's just like you go to Jamaica, man, and why does 40 Jamaican dollars, one U.S. dollar, you know, or whatever? Good question. I mean...
So, what do you think, Dean, is a practical set of solutions for the everyday person?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, you have to get out of debt. Honestly, the first thing you have to do is get out of debt, because debt is the lever that they use to control everything. I mean, people, countries, you know, everything. So you have to get out of debt. You take that to, you zoom out to a global geopolitical level, that's why the BRICS countries are buying the gold. You know, they're selling U.S. Treasury debt and they're buying gold. It's the same thing you should be doing. You should be tearing up your credit cards, paying them off, and getting out of debt. Because you can't function freely and you can't express yourself freely and live freely, really, if you're living in debt. So you get out of debt is the first thing. And then disengage yourself from the system as much as you can, as far as like shop a lot less, you know, get rid of all these stupid subscriptions. They're just playing people right now. Like, you have to have a subscription to everything now to have anything, and it's just like, cancel them all, see how long this shit lasts, you know. If everybody did that, I don't have any of that. I don't do any of that. I'm not gonna do any of that. I don't do Facebook. I'm a Luddite. I just don't want much to do with this technology, except for these interviews like this that I do. That's really it. And my Substack that I do there, I write articles sometimes. That's about it, you know. But I would say also reduce your screen time. Go get in shape. Go get in physical shape and get out in nature and reconnect with nature. Try to go for a walk every day or a hike. We went for a nice hike yesterday. I try to go, and I'm really, you know, I try to stay active. It's really important. And eat good. There's your base. You know, establish your economic base within yourself and your own household first. And then, look, man, I mean, yeah, stay human. I mean, the biggest thing people probably just need to do is just stay human. So after that, you know, help your neighbor if you have an elderly neighbor, if you have, you know, somebody that needs their walk shoveled maybe, or, you know, just anything you can do to help people. Just try to be proactive on a, you know, people talk about community all the time, right? But communities every day, it's just wherever you live, that's your community, okay? So even if you have a neighbor you don't like, that's tough shit, that's your community, man. So you better try to patch it up or whatever. But that's your community, so just face it and then be a part of it. Like, for real, don't just talk about it. Like, I want to stay a community. Like, fucking do it, man, okay? That's important. That's really important. And because that's your humanity. That's being human. And that's, we can't lose that. And that's what they want us to lose. They want us to shut all our doors and hide behind them and just like isolate and watch our little TV or our little screen or play our stupid video games by ourselves or whatever it is, but they don't want us doing those kind of things, human things, like helping each other tangibly, eating a meal with each other, talking to each other, instead of texting each other or whatever. Throw those phones out, man. My phone's off. It's off most of the day. I have a cheapy-ass phone. I turn it on, like, to check messages once, twice a day. And then I turn this computer off right away when I'm done with this internet, with this thing. So that's a big one. Then you'll start seeing things more clearly. But I don't know. I just also think, you know, people just need to have a little more humility, you know, because what they've done with this information overload thing is they've made everyone think they know everything, you know, like, because you got Google, you know everything or whatever. And I don't know. The cacophony of idiots that I hear, you know, about, like, they know everything, just gets old. And maybe you don't know everything. Maybe you could learn something from this person over here, you know, or this person over here. How about that? Could we try that today? And then let's see if we have a little different day than we had yesterday when we knew everything. And we're going around telling everybody how much we knew. And they're disregarding everything they said, really. That's just not cool. That's not human either. So that's part of the alien way to act. That's the lizard brain way to act, okay? I know everything. Guess what? Knowing things doesn't even count. The only thing that counts is taking those things that you know and then helping people or helping nature or helping the vibe. Because if it's just knowledge for the sake of knowledge, it's just pretty much pure evil, man. You know, it's the devil.
Dean, what role in the Luciferian agenda do you think AI will play?
Big time. Because, look, ultimately AI is about deception, right? And it's right in the word, it's right in the phrase, artificial intelligence. So it's not real. Intelligence, so it's fake, so it's making things up, so it's not real. So that's the nature of Satanism, is to deceive, right? The nature of it is to divide people, deceive, to lie. That's what AI does. And yeah, it's funny, you see all these commercials on TV now, like, it's just sick, man. It's like one of them's like this lady that forgot her husband's birthday and the kids are all remembering it, and then she does something with the AI and brings him the phone and shows it to him, and AI bails her out, and then it's just like disgusting, and she feels like smug that she forgot his birthday, but he doesn't know it. Like, she doesn't feel bad that she forgot his birthday. She feels smug because she was able to pull off a lie to her husband and get away with it. This is the kind of shit that we're dealing with, and this is the kind of shit morality that they're trying to push on us, man. And again, I'm saying, gonna cut it. And if we keep acting like this, and if we internalize this, and if we become this, and believe this, I think this is cool even. See, it's a slippery slope, because this is all, it's all deception. I mean, in the end, artificial intelligence is just that, it's artificial. Virtual reality is just that, it's virtual. It's not reality, it's virtual reality. It's fake reality, and anything that's fake is not natural. So again, to me, those words are synonymous. Like, artificial intelligence and aliens are the same thing. They're here. They're here. And they're trying to... It's not that they'll bring in artificial intelligence and it'll take your job. That's a red herring. And there's going to be some of that, for sure. That's not the real threat. The real threat is that you will become artificial intelligence. Or artificially human, or artificially just artificial. You'll become artificial. You'll become fake. You'll become a fake. You'll become a phony. You'll become one of these. You'll become a phony. A phony. Get it? A phony. Get it? These are phony ass people.
Oh, right.
So you don't want to deal with them. So it's all there. It's all happening, and then the aliens are here, and it is the technology. It is the technology. The Antichrist is the technology. You understand? It's not. I don't think it's a human. I don't think it's, you know. I think it's. But it's the Anunnaki bloodline crown that already runs this earth and owns everything on this earth. You understand? They own everything. You understand? Look, we're not doing too hot. Like, that's the actual, the real deal. That's not artificial intelligence. That's genuine historical knowledge and intelligence that I've derived from study. And they own everything, and we don't own much at all. That's a problem. So whenever y'all want to get on with exposing and deposing these people that run it all, I'm all for it. But if you're going to sail away under the artificial intelligence boat, just know that they own that boat too. And you're going to make them a shitload of money, and you're going to stay a slave, and you're probably going to get dumber than you already are, which ain't good, people, because we're getting dumber every day. I swear to God, I'm 60 years old, and I see people getting dumber every day. And I've never really been able to say that in my life, man, I don't think. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing it. And I know it's the technology, because it gives people the false sense that they know something, and they don't know shit. They're losing their real knowledge of everything. Most people can't even change a fucking tire anymore, dude. It's sad, you know? It's sad.
You don't sound very hopeful.
I'm not anything. I'm just, I mean, as far as that, as far as like the outcome, I'm not. But on the other hand, I'm very hopeful where I'm going next. I'm very hopeful the path I'm on, and I'm very hopeful that good will prevail. But it's just, it's not going to happen now. It's not going to happen in an idiocracy. It's not going to happen in a country that just reelected this billionaire and thinks he's going to be a savior for the working class, for God's sakes. I mean, how stupid can you be, man? He's told you this story over and over, and then he tells you another story, and here's another story for you. And look what he did last time. He cut taxes for the rich. They got richer. Wall Street went through the roof, and your shit stayed about the same. You know, and then COVID, and he started Operation Warp Speed. He still hasn't apologized for that, by the way. Yeah, but Trump's the savior of the working class. I see. And that's kind of like the Democrats saying, you know, Harris is a progressive, and oh, she's gonna. No, it's just, you don't understand, man. It's all sewed up. The politics is over. We don't vote. It doesn't matter. I mean, we can vote if you want, but it doesn't matter. They control everything. But where I'm hopeful is just, you know, where I'm going to stay, which is I'm going to stay human. And I don't really, you know, down the road, another millennium, another, probably we're going to get hit by a solar flare because we're just stupid. We're not going to wake up. I don't think we're going to wake up this time around. And then we'll start over. But I don't really care. I just know I'm staying human. And I just know that's what it's going to be for me. But no, as far as the immediate outcome, I'm not. The only thing that's hopeful to me right now, honestly, yeah, is the Russians, the Chinese, this alliance, this BRICS alliance. And so I wouldn't say I'm completely without hope. I guess I'm hopeless for the West. Yeah, I don't think we're going to. I don't think you're like we had it pretty good in a sense, because even though the bloodline owns everything, they've put us, you know, we're in these Western developed countries where we've been kind of cut into the deal by allowing like the corporations to base here and then what, bring stuff back to us. So we get to drink better coffee and, you know, whatever. So we've had it a little better. I think that's going to change. And I think, so I'm not optimistic for the West, but I shouldn't, you know, I think I am pretty optimistic that this time around, like, you know, the BRICS are going to prevail. And I don't think greater Israel is going to happen. You know, I don't think it's going to happen. I think Israel in another 5 years will cease to exist. I think Iran has missiles that we don't even understand. I think the Russians have way beyond what we have. I think if it comes to that, they're going to win. But it's just how many people are going to die in the West? A lot. And there's a thing called the Deagle Report. Which you may have heard of, probably have, right? And that's 2025 prediction. That's this coming year, and that calls for, like, U.S. population to go from, what, 360 million to 100 million, I think? Yeah. And then France and the U.K. are the other two countries that have huge drops, which, you know, you can say, well, that's the shots, that's the COVID vaccinations, people are dropping like flies, but that can't be all of it. And I think the rest of it is World War III, and it's coming this year, this next year. I'm afraid. I'm just afraid it is, because you can't behave like this, like Israel behaves, and not have Iran just thump you on the head. Everybody wants to thump you on the head, man. Like, everybody, we're just waiting, right? I mean, everybody's just waiting for somebody to take you out, man, because we hate you so much, man, as a country. Fucking hate you, man. And the same goes for just these assholes in the city of London. I mean, I wish that Putin would figure it out that it's actually the UK running policy. They're the ones that put Zelensky up to provoking Russia. They're the ones that always do that. They're the ones running the white helmets in Syria now that are going around, you know, supporting these terrorists, basically, that are causing havoc in Syria on behalf of the bankers and Israel and everything. I think something big's coming. In a way, you know, we're going to suffer. That's the thing. Like, me and you are, well, you'll probably be fine in South Africa, I think. But no, really, I think you will. But Americans like me here, I'm in harm's way. And I know that. I got a cat, so I haven't left yet, but I might. A lot of people have. It's hard to leave with a cat unless I want to get him vaccinated, which I don't. And the airlines force you to do that. So that, honestly, that's probably the only reason I'm still here. Because no, I'm not hopeful about what's going to happen to this country at all. And I'm not hopeful about what's going to happen to Europe at all, Western Europe at all. No. But I wouldn't say I'm not hopeful. We deserve it. I mean, not we don't. It's too bad. But the people that run this country deserve it. That's for sure. People that run the UK deserve it. They run Israel deserve it. So I guess, you know, we should have done more to try to change it as Americans, and we didn't. And now we're looking down the barrel of some hypersonic Soviet missiles. And they're too stupid to just back off. Still, they're still just ignorant. I don't know.
Dean, you have a vast library of information in your books and on your Substack. How can I find them and find out more?
My Substack, I guess it's just whatever, however they do that, Dean Henderson, Substack, .com, whatever, and then Amazon, is my books. I got 7 books there at Amazon. The latest is, it's called Royal Bloodline with Tico. The great remembering. There's 7 books on Amazon anyway, and you can just type in Dean Henderson Amazon, and get to those books. And I really appreciate you having me on, Germ, and I appreciate what you're doing. Getting this information out.
If you enjoyed this, please visit germwarfare.com.